CJSF's meet and greets are back. Connect with the staff and volunteers of CJSF 90.1 FM and learn about opportunities for you to make radio, review arts and culture events, write content for our website, uncover hidden gems and new releases in our library, and more. January 25th, Making and Hosting Radio, an introduction to CJSF's Programming and Public Affairs Department with Robin and Jesse. February 1st, Arts and Entertainment. Learn about interviewing artists and reviewing live events around town for CJSF with Nat. February 8th, Music. Discover how new music gets added to the CJSF playlist and explore our library of over 90,000 records with Connor. Join us on Thursdays at 4 p.m. at CJSF, room 1420, first floor of the Student Union Building on the SFU Burnaby campus. Hope to see you there.
Speak up. You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Hey, hello, good morning. Welcome.
Ooh.
Toasty. How you doing? Thanks for hanging out with me this morning on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, broadcasting on the unceded ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, the Tsleil-Waututh, and other Coast Salish peoples. My name is Jesse, hanging out here on Thursday, February 8th. Hope you're having a good morning. Your commute was a little less hectic than mine. I guess it wasn't hectic, just busy. Lots of people out, lots of cube vans holding up entire major infrastructure routes for multiple city blocks just so they can make a left turn. I'm here, and we've got some radio for us to share together. Today on the show, we're well into Black History, or as it's being called now, Black Excellence Month. And so we're going to celebrate some Black Excellence. And in doing that, we're also going to dovetail with one of my favorite things to do on this show, which is play some local music and feature some local voices. So we are going to hear an interview conducted in late November, early December by Public Affairs Department Work Study Matthew with the inimitable, the one and only local R&B pop legend Sade Owele. She met with Matthew to talk about her music, her inspiration, herself, all sorts of things. So we will hear that pretty quick here. And then a little bit, some bits and pieces, some extra music and little things. So we will actually start with the extra music, the little bits and pieces. And usually I start with some local music, but we're going to hear lots of local music from Sade. So we will pivot to another Canadian great, one you may have heard of, probably have, but maybe not. Oscar Peterson is he's still a legend, no longer with us, but a wonderful, wonderful jazz pianist who shaped a lot of people's ideas of jazz, Canadian jazz, Montreal jazz, for a long time, and he certainly had a global impact. And we're going to hear from a compilation. Oh, this also doubles as our What Did Jesse Find in the Archives segment, because yesterday I found a compilation from Oscar Peterson called Beginnings, 1945 to 1949, so some early work, a double a double 16-track CD set, so 32 tracks of vintage Oscar Peterson. We're going to hear Oscar's Boogie. Most of the tracks on this are not Oscar Peterson originals, but this one is. He would go on to write a whole lot of stuff, but you know, early in the career of many a jazz artist, you're playing standards, you're playing, you know, maybe I Got Rhythm by Gershwin, etc. And oh, excuse me, came out of nowhere. Peterson's no different here. Lots of different classics on this record, but we're going to hear, as I said, an Oscar Peterson original. This is Oscar's Boogie here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. Oscar's Boogie by Oscar Peterson. His hands are moving so fast. Pianists will always have my respect just for the speed and the coordination, doing different things with both hands all over the place. And Oscar Peterson doing it very quickly and very delightfully. So I hope you enjoyed that little snippet as much as I did. And now I'm going to turn you over to Matthew's conversation with Sade Awele. But first, we are going to hear a little bit more music from Sade Awele. This is Apple Pie. And then you'll hear from Matthew. My intuition telling me. Oops, this one's intuition. My bad. Because every time I feel this strong pull, like this is something I could handle. But all the questions in my mind, asking is this the right time? My whirlwind of imaginations mixed with my infatuations of ya. If I press in, if I lean into it, if I hold fast, will I experience all of the places I've never been before? Fast paced and never changing carousel. My mind is ever rolling, and with you I'm ever flowing. I don't wanna lose this feeling, I don't.
yet. You might be what I've been searching for. I try, but I can hide it. Maybe this is what we're living for. Making memories we can't ignore. Oh, oh. A part of me wants to explore a love that lasts more and more. If I press it, if I lean into it, if I hold fast, will I experience all of the places I've never been before? Fast pace and ever changing carousel. My mind is ever rolling. And with you, I'm ever flowing. I don't want to lose this feeling. No, no. So I'm holding fast to the truth. It might be just what I need. Holding fast to the truth. It might be just what I need. Holding fast to the truth. It might be just what I need. It might be just what I need. Oh, 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 oh. Holding fast to the truth. It might be just what I need. Holding fast to the truth. It might be just what I need. Holding fast to the truth. It might be just what I need.
Hello guests, today we've got with us Sadia Wele, and that was one of her songs, Intuition. She's a Nigerian-born, Vancouver-based singer-songwriter who is a captivating musical talent. Since releasing her debut single, Count On Me, in 2018, Sadia has continued to garner more and more buzz thanks to her string of critically acclaimed releases in the years. Hello Sadia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Are you excited to be here?
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
So today I've got a couple of questions for you. We're just going to go from your beginning, your background, then we're going to go all the way to currently what you're up to, what you're doing, what do you plan to do with your musical career, and any other plans you've got. So first question, we know that you moved from Nigeria to Vancouver. Like, we'd like to know how, when was that and how was that? Was it a family decision or what went into that?
So I moved from Nigeria to Canada, and yes, it was a family decision. And it was, how was that? It was definitely a big change, you know, having had my formative years in Nigeria and having family out there and coming to a new country and coming to a new environment. Definitely, I wouldn't say it was necessarily culture shock per se, but I think the biggest thing was just getting used to the new normal. And yeah, pretty much all of my family is in Ontario. So to be out here also in BC is definitely different. It feels like I'm sort of a nomad sometimes.
Yeah. I understand that. And with your family, where did the love for music stem from? Was it already in your family, or was it something that you grew as you came to Canada?
Yeah, my love for music has been since I was a child. Like, we used to listen to music all the time growing up. It was where I definitely consider my family a musical family. And, you know, like the typical Nigerian household, especially Nigerian Christian household, that was sort of the culture at the time, to kind of like wake up in the morning and sing together and have devotion and all this stuff. And that was always my favorite part of the mornings, like kind of like singing together. And I didn't even realize that subconsciously I was falling in love with music, because I would always look forward to those moments. And then my father was a huge enthusiast. He loved jazz, he loved R&B, he loved everything. Like, he was such a massive, massive music enthusiast. So whenever he would play music, he'd be like, oh, can you hear, like, he'd usually be talking to my brothers. He'd be like, oh, can you hear the drums on that? Can you hear the bass on that? Can you hear the keys on that? But I was always paying attention. And I was like, all right, I like that. I like the sound of that. And that's sort of how my love for it evolved. And my dad definitely played a huge part in that, because he was the first person that ever told me that I could sing and sort of unleashed that talent.
That's kind of refreshing to hear, because typically when you hear like African families or like Nigerian household, that's what it's like. Oh, parents are always lawyer, doctor, engineer, go for one of those things. So it's even like, even if like you have a hobby, like, oh, don't, you can do the hobby on the side, but don't do to make it your main career. So how was that growing up as well? It was did your family play a big part in supporting you towards your goals, or were they like we all always hear, or like both telling us that, oh, African houses want you to do this and that.
I would say it was definitely a mix. I think in the beginning for them, it was like, whoa, this is a hobby, Shade. Like, just focus on the side and focus on all the other things that we want you to do. But I think as I grew as an artist and as they saw my confidence grow and as they saw sort of the impact that it was creating for other artists of color, other artists, other Nigerian artists, other artists that wanted to pursue music, I think it started to make more sense to them that, oh, this is, she actually has a voice in this and she actually has a place in this. But it was definitely a process in the beginning. It was just more of like, okay, whatever. But later, as I started to develop, I think it helped them believe in me more. But it definitely took me believing in myself for them to also grow, build that confidence in me too.
That's something nice to hear.
Yeah.
And is there a moment where it hits that, oh, this is something I actually want to do like for the rest of my life? Is there like an actual, like, do you think of those one time that you like?
Yeah, honestly, like, wait, do you mean, was there a time where I was like, I want to do this for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you mean? Oh yeah, I'll never forget. That was in 2017. That was the year where I was like, I'm doing this for the rest of my life. Like, I love this. Like, this makes me feel free. It makes me feel alive. This gives me so much purpose. And from that year, I mean, I would never forget. I was sitting in the car with my parents and I was like, so guys, I want you to know that I'm going to be pursuing music like full on. I'm not playing around with this. And this was before I released Count On Me. And my dad was like, you know, like before I was a little bit afraid about what it would be like for you to pursue music, but I've seen the way you've grown. So, you know, go for it. They were both just like, okay, yeah, sure, go for it.
And I guess that was part of your decision to move to Vancouver specifically, or BC?
It definitely was an influence, absolutely. Because it was around that time that I moved to Vancouver. Before that, I was actually living in a few places in Canada. Calgary was one of them. I've lived in Hamilton. I've lived in Ottawa. But specifically moving to Vancouver, that was the year. Yeah.
Okay. That's, yeah. And have you gotten the chance to work with other creatives, or how's the career been like since you moved to Vancouver?
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to work with so many amazing, amazing artists here. And even if we haven't worked together in the studio, we've maybe performed together on stage at similar events or festivals and things like that. And definitely it's been a supportive community. It's definitely, sometimes it can be isolating, especially as an artist, when you're in your own head and you have all these ideas of how you want your music to be, and you might go into your bubble for some time. But I would say generally I've been able to grow a community. Like, my band mates, I consider them my friends, because we've made music together for some time now, and we've toured together as well and things like that.
Yeah, and you mentioned how you want your music to sound like. Is there, what's the specific category? How would you describe the kind of music you want to make?
Yeah, I would say my music is for everybody, but it also really appeals to, I would say, the diasporic African. So the African that maybe grew up in an African country, but then moved to a foreign country and sort of has both that African and Western influence. I would say that my music really appeals to them, because it's sort of like combining two worlds. And I feel like I combine both the R&B world and the Afro soul, Afro beats world, because both of those have greatly influenced me and greatly influenced my love for music and all of that. So it definitely appeals to those two people. It appeals to people who love, who are enthusiasts, music enthusiasts. It also appeals to musicians, I would say, as well, like people who are also artists. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And what's the process that goes into it? You mentioned bandmates. Are they also involved in making of your music?
Yes, they're involved in the making of my music. It varies so much. Like, this morning I woke up, I had this song idea, I recorded it on my voice memo. Sometimes I use Logic to sort of work on sort of the pre-production of a lot of my songs, and I might just start fiddling around with my MIDI. I start fiddling around with some stems and develop some ideas from there. Or sometimes it might just be me and the bandmates jamming together, and then they're putting down something that sounds really sweet, and I'm like, all right, I have some lyrics to this. So it's very feeling based. It's based on how I'm feeling in the moment. It's based on what's inspiring me in the moment. And I also love developing melodies all the time. So I might not even have lyrics, but I might have a melody for something. And then I just sit down and then I record the melody into my phone. And then it becomes, maybe becomes something later. So, yeah.
And is it like a moment where you've experienced some sort of like writer's block, or the music isn't just flowing as it should, or you're not just feeling what you should feel?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I went through that. I've had like a devastating time in my life was sort of when I lost my dad. And right after that, I couldn't create. Like, at first I could create, and then afterwards I went through this phase where I couldn't create at all. And I was just so, that year, I barely released anything. I think maybe I released like one single, managed to. And I had even recorded that single like the year prior. So it sort of shook my world and I wasn't able to create anything. But I realized that with writer's block, sometimes it's a moment to pay attention to yourself, to your mind, to your body, to your body's talking to you in that moment and needs some care and attention and needs you to sort of drift away from all that creativity and focus on what's inside. And then from that, I learned that creativity also can span. Creativity is not just about writing a song. It's not just about writing melody, creating melodies, but it's also about the people that you develop relationships with, the places that you travel to, the experiences that you have with people around you, being in nature, being just allowing yourself to experience the world around you is where creativity stems from. So I definitely learned that from the writer's block. And I also learned to be patient with myself and allow it to pass. Like the gift is already there. It's just allowing that process to go away and that time to pass, and then everything will be fine. So
So you mentioned you had a really tough time, especially with your dad passing, where you had a whole writer's block. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask specifically in regards to mental health. Mm-hmm. Was there anything that you sought out to do outside trying to pour some to your music?
Yeah, one of the big things that I had to do was get a therapist. And I know, like, even saying that, I know that it's very hard for a lot of artists to be able to do that because it's expensive, and a lot of times you're contemplating between being able to buy groceries versus get a therapist. And I know that there's a lot of organizations now that also offer grants to help artists be able to afford it. But I felt like that was so important for me to have someone that I could talk to, and she specializes in grief and all that. So it really helped me. It really helped me work through my emotions and my feelings. And the thing about it too, like going through grief, is that it's an emotional roller coaster. Sometimes you think you're okay, then something can trigger the emotions. You could even be performing and the next thing you feel like crying. Like, there's so many things that could trigger the feelings, and it's important to take care of yourself. And I know for me, I had to get to the point of just accepting that this is where I'm at and not feeling ashamed that I'm going through those emotions, and just allowing myself to feel, allow myself to go through the hurt, allow myself to cry, and then surrounding myself with encouraging people, surrounding myself with people who were speaking life to me, surrounding myself with people who had my best interest, really helped me get through those challenging times. Yeah. And praying. I believe very strongly in praying, and that just kind of just helped me to center my mind and just, whether I was angry, whatever emotions I was feeling, it didn't matter. Like, I felt, just confident enough to just do that and just be in that space, and it just helped me get better. Yeah.
And you mentioned that your focus is mainly on like the African and diaspora people who are like African and moved and move around and have the Western and African influence, but we all know, like, from the African household, there's that kind of like stigma. It's like, what is therapy? What is mental health? You don't have, like, you can't have mental health, like, you are in my household.
Yeah.
So was there, do you feel like there was that part also like holding you back from pursuing like the help that you needed?
Yeah, like, definitely in the beginning, I was influenced by the stigma of, if you go to see a therapist, then there must be something seriously wrong with you, or like, you're not able to navigate your life. Like, why do you need somebody else to kind of, help you with all of that? And I was desperate. Like, I was struggling so much. I wasn't able to kind of get through my day. So for me, I had to look online and look at resources and people who
had gone through therapy and talked to my friends who had gone through therapy that were also Black and talked to them, like, okay, how did this help you? Like, I need to understand, like, why did you feel you needed to go through therapy, and what changes did it make for your life? And when I saw the difference in their life and the ways that it helped them heal from whatever things they were going through, I was like, man, I'm gonna do this. Like, it just made so much sense. And you know, it's important that we break away from that stigma. Definitely, I think it will definitely help. It will help our community, the Black community. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And then you mentioned praying, so I'm assuming that you're still like close with God.
Yeah, like God is a huge part of my life, and spirituality is a huge part of my life. Like, I feel like it keeps me grounded, keeps me humble, keeps me focused, and it just helps me get through my day. Especially with the way the world is right now,
yeah.
It's going upside down. I'm like, I just need that constantly. So yeah, God is definitely a part of my life.
And I know over here it's not like really a big thing,
yeah.
But like I've noticed that like back home it's like everything is like you have to pray and get whatever you need like to persevere in life.
Yeah.
I'm like love where he's with.
Yeah.
But like over here it's like, it's more of like, oh, you have to like struggle
yeah.
with your own blood. So like how
work hard
to get what you want. You don't depend on any like external force.
Yeah.
So like how was that like that move, like when you moved there, like how was that like reconciled? Was there a time that you had like a dip in your spirituality?
Yeah. Oh yeah, like definitely. Like there was a time where I felt like, oh, I am so sufficient. And then when I sort of, you know, start going through struggles, I'm like, God, help me, please. So then I realized that it's actually important to have both. Like it's important to put in that work hard and be diligent at what you do, but it's also important to have that grounding, and you know, it's like that foundation. It just allows you to navigate life. And I don't know, I know like everyone has like their own different opinions, but for me, I guess maybe because of my life experiences, it has allowed me, the certain miracles that have happened in my life allow me to just believe that there's certain things that I'm like, nah, that had to have been God doing something over there. So for me, I sort of balance the two. I don't believe in just like praying and not doing anything. Like that's like, okay, what are you doing? It's like you've got to put in the work. You've got to still like work hard. I think it's important for them to go kind of hand in hand, and then you sort of, you know, work towards your destiny. So yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And then you spoke about reaching out to Black creatives in the industry to see to get advice on for like help. I was going to ask when it comes to like racism in the industry, like especially in Vancouver, like how to like is there that kind of support for people of color or specifically Black people?
Yeah, there is. It's a mixed bag. Like I think there could be more support for sure. I know that there are certain spaces that are being created where Black people can come together and talk about sort of their challenges, especially in a province like British Columbia where we don't have a lot of Black people. We have very small communities that are really paving the way to help people of color and Black people to have a space where, whether it's a space where they can sort of create together or a space where they can talk about mental health. I'm definitely seeing that, you know, you have Black Women Connect Vancouver, you have Couch Jams, you have Ethos Lab, you have, you know, there's some other communities and groups like that that are coming together to really sort of be pioneers for Black people and for people of color. So we still need more of it because I'm still seeing a lot of Black people struggling. But as long as these communities continue to be supported, then we'll be able to see more stem from that. So yeah.
I also wanted to know your opinion on the internet specifically, how you're utilizing it to push your career forward.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any label you're working with, or even if you're working alone, how are you pushing it through different platforms, and how do you plan to keep on doing that?
Yeah, like definitely it takes a team to work on music. So right now I have a distributor. I'm lucky enough to have a distributor that helps me with the distribution of my music. And in addition to them, I also have a small team, and we work together and we strategize together on releases. So in addition to those, obviously the inner